Now today, we're going to look at the closing section of chapter 6 of the Acts of the Apostles, and here there is brought before us further progress regarding the church's testimony, and over against that there will be the opposition from the council. Perhaps you're beginning to observe now that from the very start of Christianity there was opposition to be faced. I've indicated in previous studies opposition from a variety of sources. Not only opposition from without, but difficulties from within. Nevertheless, the work must go on. Now let me read from verse 7 of chapter 6. And the word of God increased, and the number of the disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly, and a great company of the priests were added to the faith. And Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and miracles among the people. Then there arose certain of the synagogue, which is called the synagogue of the Libertines, and Cyrenians, and Alexandrians, and of them of Cilicia and of Asia, disputing with Stephen. And they were not able to resist the wisdom and the spirit by which he spake. Then they suborned men, which said, We have heard him speak blasphemous words against Moses and against God. And they stirred up the people and the elders and the scribes, and came upon him and caught him, and brought him to the council, set up false witnesses, which said, This man ceaseth not to speak blasphemous words against this holy place and the law. For we have heard him say that this Jesus of Nazareth shall destroy this place, shall change the customs which Moses delivered us. And all that sat in the council, looking steadfastly on him, saw his face as it had been the face of an angel. I'm sure the Lord will bless to us the reading of these verses. Here I suggest, in this book, we have the account of further progress, but calling for more opposition from the council. I drew your attention in a last study to what is said in verse 7. I just mentioned it. Here was a certain achievement, for among the new converts are numbered some of the Jewish priests. That's verse 7. The word of God increased, and the number of the disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly, and a great company of the priests were obedient to the faith. That is remarkable, because in the opening part of chapter 6 we drew attention to the fact that there were problems in the church. Now, if these problems had not been dealt with and dealt with correctly, then that trouble would simply have continued. The murmuring would have continued, and all these complaints would have hindered the work. Wherever we have murmuring and complaining in a local church, there will be no advance. But the moment that these internal things are dealt with and dealt with correctly, to God's satisfaction and to the satisfaction of everybody concerned, then of course there's progress. The word of God increased. There was achievement here. Because after all, that was what the church set out to do, was to be a testimony for God. They were commissioned to go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to observe all things whatsoever the Lord had commanded. But remember, they could only do this in the power of the Holy Spirit. Ye shall receive power, the Holy Spirit coming upon you, and ye shall be my witnesses, first in Jerusalem and Judea, Samaria, and on to the uttermost parts. At this point here in chapter 6, they're still in Jerusalem, and now they're making some progress. a certain achievement is made here because the number of the disciples was multiplied, and multiplied greatly. Now this comes as a great challenge to us today, for the simple reason that most local churches today seem to be quite satisfied if they can just maintain what they call their membership, if they can just maintain their attendance. Of course, if it happens to be that they're adding to that, just an odd one here, an odd one there, well, that's something to be happy about. But in the early days of Christianity, it wasn't simply a matter of being added. We found that in chapter 2 they were being added. Now in chapter 6 they're being multiplied. Now there's a big difference between adding and multiplying. If you just begin to add, and you add 6 to an existing 6, that makes 12. But if you multiply 6 by 6, then you've got 36. If you were to add 20 to 20, you would have 40. But oh my friend, look, if you were to multiply 20 by 20, why, you would have 400. You see, what we should be looking for today is a movement of the Spirit of God that will multiply the believers. Here they were multiplied. It was a great achievement. Then he pinpoints here in this record that a great company of the priests were obedient to the faith. Now remember, these were the people who, to begin with, were giving opposition to the work. These were the Orthodox Jewish priests. Now they have listened to the word. They have become convinced of the truth of what was being preached. There's been conviction. There's been repentance, and they were obedient to the faith. Now, it's not a matter of being obedient to their faith. They were obedient to the faith. That is the body of doctrine that is held and preached by the church, the faith concerning the Lord Jesus Christ, his death, burial, and resurrection. And so a great number of these Orthodox religious priests were obedient to the faith. Now that really is making progress. Now against that, there is the antagonism against the truth. But now, how does antagonism against the truth show itself? Because first of all, after we're told that a great number of these people were obedient to the faith, then our attention is pinpointed to one man whose name is Stephen. Now it says concerning Stephen, he was a man full of faith and power. Now I want you to go back in thought now to the opening verses of this chapter. Because when the trouble arose in the church at Jerusalem, and there was a murmuring about the daily ministration, the handout, then the apostle said, you'll have to choose out men, and I want you to choose 7 men. Now here were the qualifications for these men: men of honest report, men full of the Holy Spirit, men full of wisdom. I pointed out then that these were the things that were to characterize these men. They were to be men, as it were, who were honest and straight. Men who were spiritual. Men who were sensible. Now, when they began to choose those men, you'll find that the first man whose name is mentioned is the name of Stephen. So we find that here was a man who was straight in his business dealings. A man of honest report. He was a man who was spiritual, full of the Holy Spirit, under the guidance of the Spirit, and a man who was sensible. He is full of wisdom. Now, that's the man who is mentioned now in verse 8, Stephen. But here there are additional things said about him. Stephen now is said to be a man full of faith and power. Now you see how this man can be used of God. In plain words, the man who was faithful in the lesser things is now thrust out into a much wider field of service and engages in the greater service. We're going to find the same thing when we come into chapter 8 with regards to the second man who's mentioned, and that is the man whose name was Philip. Now, I may say this then, here was Stephen, a man full of faith, a man full of the Holy Spirit, a man of wisdom, a straight man. And he is a man who has power. He has power with God, as it were, and power with men. He's a man who can preach the word. And God puts his hand right on this man. And now we're faced with the activity of Stephen. Things have been put right inside the church. And now they're able to go on and continue with their witness to others. And Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and miracles among the people. We're not told what these wonders were, and we're not told what these miracles were. We're simply told that the man did great wonders and miracles among the people. And this is what leads on to the next little section. This is what arouses, as it were, the antagonism against the truth. I've been pointing out that the devil will use anybody and everybody, if needs be, in order to oppose the work of God. He can use people in high places. He can use those who have the place of rule. Or he can come in and he can use people who are already in the local church. He'll use anybody. In the days when the Lord Jesus Christ was here on earth, Satan even entered into Judas, who was one of the 12, and used him to betray the Lord. Now here, I want you to pay attention now. He stirs up some people. Then there arose certain of the synagogue, which is called the synagogue of the libertines. Now notice a number of people here, those who are of this particular group, the synagogue of the libertines. Then there was the Cyrenians, the Alexandrians, them of Cilicia and of Asia. Now notice, they all came from different places, different backgrounds, but they are united in this. They are opposed to Stephen. I ask you, in all fairness, why should people be opposed to the truth? Why should people be opposed to a man doing that which was good? A man who was helping others. Yet they're opposed. Now these antagonists resisted the truth, and they stirred up the people against Stephen, and they falsely accused him. That's the same thing as was done to the Lord Jesus Christ. Christ had also been accused, falsely accused. The people were stirred up against him. Now what they did to the master, they're now doing to the servant. Remember, Stephen is serving the Lord. And the fact of the matter is, he's going to be treated in the same manner as the Lord Jesus was treated. These people arose, and they started disputing with Stephen. Verse 10 says, and they were not able to resist the wisdom and the spirit by which he spake. Now that's easy to understand. For while these men may understand some things, there was one thing they didn't understand and one thing they didn't know. Here was a man who was being prompted and worked under the power of the Holy Spirit. He had the power of God with him. And because he was full of faith and full of power, he was doing great wonders and miracles among the people. Now, you can never explain a miracle. If you could explain it, you would explain it away. But here was a man who was able to do those things under the power of the Holy Spirit. In plain words, God was working with him. But the devil was working with those who were opposed to him. And so therefore, these who might have been enemies to one another joined forces at this time against what they might call the common enemy, and they were opposing Stephen, the man of God. But as they listened to him, they were not able to resist the wisdom nor the spirit by which he spake. So they had to do something else. Then they suborned men which said, "We have heard them speak blasphemous words against Moses and against God." Now I want you to notice that accusation, because when the time comes in our next chapter for Stephen to give his defense, he'll have to answer to these charges. So the charge made against him here by these false witnesses was this: "We've heard them speak blasphemous words against Moses and against God." That was not true. These men were false witnesses. Just as false witnesses had spoken against the Lord, here are false witnesses speaking against the men of God. "And they stirred up the people and the elders and the scribes, and came upon him and caught him and brought him to the council." Now first of all, notice in verse 9 we're told the number of people, who they were, where they came from, and how they were all opposed to Stephen. But they could not, as it were, resist the wisdom and the spirit. So the suborned men, they got other people who were prepared to tell lies, to speak against him, give false witness. Having done so, notice, they solicit the help of others. This time they stirred up the people, the common people. Then they got the elders in with them, and they got the scribes with them. These were the lawyers, the men who were supposed to know. They came upon him and caught him and brought him to the council. Here then we have the arrest of Stephen. I want to draw your attention to this little incident, because this is an important incident in the advance of the truth, because it will become a connecting link in the scattering of the believers throughout the whole land, and it will lead to the conversion of Saul of Tarsus. These are two important matters in connection with the advance of the church and in connection with the spread of the gospel. And here Stephen is the man. Now notice, if Stephen had simply stayed in the church at Jerusalem and attended to the daily ministration, then he would never have been found here arrested by these people. But notice how God moves in a mysterious way his wonders to perform. The man, first of all, is brought into prominence at a time of difficulty in the church. They required some leadership, somebody to handle the affairs of the church, and he was one of the men who was found competent to do this. Now then, having served then in that capacity, notice how he's taken out into a much wider field of service. Now he begins to do the great wonders and the miracles. He's also able to preach. And these men, they couldn't possibly resist the wisdom and the spirit by which he spoke. Now that leads then to what I've termed his arrest. It's the arrest of Stephen that becomes a pivotal or turning point then in the history of the church. Notice then the accusations that are against Stephen. For when you come to verse 13, they set up false witnesses which said, "This man ceaseth not to speak blasphemous words against this holy place and the law." Now, join that with what we already noticed in verse 11. In verse 11, these false witnesses said, "We have heard them speak blasphemous words against Moses and against God." When you come to verse 13, they said, "He speaks blasphemous words against this holy place and the law." Now, add these things together. They're accusing this man of God, Stephen, of speaking blasphemous words against Moses, against God, against the holy place, that's the temple, and against the law. Now then, these are the accusations brought against him. And I might say this, that these accusations will become the basis for the defense by Stephen, for what we believe to be the Holy Spirit's final offer to the nation. Remember, these people who are accusing him, falsely accusing him, are representatives of the nation of Israel. And as he gives his defense, we'll find this, that God is making, as it were, his final offer to that nation before the time of their scattering. So this, to me, is a very, very important part of the Acts of the Apostles. Now, it's at that time we're brought to the point where we've got to face up to this man, Stephen. The accusations have been made against him. Now, how would you respond to these accusations if you were in the place of Stephen? Do you remember regarding the Lord Jesus Christ, when he was falsely accused, he was led like a lamb to the slaughter, like a sheep that is dumb before her shearers, he opened not his mouth, he stood silent. And even Pilate the judge was amazed at how he stood in silence and listened to all the false accusations that were laid against him. Now here's a man of God. He's being falsely accused. He knows perfectly well that what they're saying isn't true. But now, and all that sat in the council, looking steadfastly on him, saw his face as it had been the face of an angel. So at the close of this chapter, our attention is drawn to the appearance of Stephen. He was a case similar to that of Moses. When Moses went up on the mount and was receiving the law, he was in the presence of God, as it were, under the glory cloud of God. And when Moses came down from the mount, he wist not that his face shone. There was a glory radiating from the face of Moses. He wasn't even conscious of it. It was unconscious glory. But because he had been in the presence of God, when he came down, he was reflecting the glory of God even in his face. Now here is a case. While Stephen may not be conscious of it, nevertheless his face shone with heavenly glory. Can you think of it, my friend? To think here's a man who has been doing a work for God, helping in the work in the local church in Jerusalem. Then he goes out and he starts to preach. And under the power of the Holy Spirit, he's a man full of power. He's doing great wonders and performing miracles amongst the people. He's preaching the word of the faith. He's presenting the message of the gospel, and yet he's being falsely accused. He's being arrested. He's going to be arraigned before the council. Yet here's a man whose face radiates something of the glory of God. And these men looked on him. They saw there was something extraordinary about this man. For no doubt they had never seen angels. They didn't know what angels looked like. But as they looked on him, his face as it had been the face of an angel, there was some kind of supernatural glory radiating from this man of God. And that leads us to our next lesson, when he comes to give his defense and answer these accusations.